Shrink Wrap Radio number 906. Want to be a better psychiatrist? Enter a beauty pageant.
And now it's time for Dr. Dave and Shrink Wrap Radio.
You're on the couch again with Dr. Dave. And Shrink Wrap Radio is playing on again. Yeah. It's all in your head. It's all in your head. Shrink Wrap Radio. Shrink Wrap Radio. Shrink Wrap Radio. Shrink Wrap Radio.
It's Shrink Wrap Radio. All the psychology you need to know, and just enough to make it dangerous. It's all in your head. And now here's your host, Dr. Dave.
My guest today is Canadian from Nova Scotia, psychiatrist Dr. Patricia Salen, who wrote a very provocative article that was picked up by various publishing outlets. Her suggestion that participation in beauty pageants would be a good preparation for medical school was not facetious. She actually became a beauty queen on her way to becoming a psychiatrist. Thank you to longtime listener Pat Stanford for suggesting her. Psychiatrist Patricia Salen, welcome to Shrink Wrap Radio.
Thank you. It's actually psychiatry residence, so I'm still in my residency training.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, yeah, okay. That makes sense. You're young enough. You wrote a very interesting and provocative article about becoming a beauty queen as a way to prepare for medical school. And I believe you actually did enter a series of beauty pageants, which you won. Tell us about that. What was your motivation?
Sure. So the article that I wrote, my original title was Pageantry, an Unconventional Education for Aspiring Psychiatrists. And then MedPage Today reposted it and they changed the title. They made Want to Be a Better Psychiatrist? Enter a Beauty Pageant. So similar enough concept, but for me, the motivation for writing the article was more that I've been doing pageantry for a long time, like long before I ever went into psychiatry. Since I was 16 was the first time I entered a pageant. So it's been a 15-year journey for me of doing pageants. And I find that it within the world of psychiatry, people don't really understand very much about it. There are a lot of stereotypes.
Right,
a lot of people
right.
have negative stereotypes, misconceptions. Biases against it. And so I thought, you know, I think that I've gotten quite a lot of benefit out of doing pageants that has helped my career. And so even though you don't necessarily think about how pageantry can work with psychiatry, I actually, when I think about it, I've learned a lot of soft skills. I've enhanced a lot of aspects of my life that overall contribute to being a better psychiatrist in the long run. So I wanted to put that in writing to share my thoughts about this, because there's just so much, like, people think, you know, if somebody's into pageantry, how could they also be into psychiatry? But yet the current Mrs. World reigning queen is a psychiatrist from Germany. And so there is that overlap, and there are ways that pageantry help psychiatrists to be better psychiatrists.
Oh, that's interesting. So the current reigning queen is a German psychiatrist.
Yeah, yeah, in the Mrs. World pageant. So not Miss, but Mrs., like the marital pageant. Okay. Yeah, she was Mrs. Germany, and she is a child and adolescent psychiatrist. And so when I had made this article, she commented on one of the social media posts about it, saying that she can only attest to how she also feels like pageantry has helped her become a better psychiatrist.
Yeah, yeah. So was your mother like the driving force in terms of your entering beauty pageants at such an early age, or was this entirely your own ambition?
It was a little bit of both. I mean, I started when I was 16. It was more that my hometown had a beauty pageant, so it was the Miss New Westminster pageant. And it was something that I saw other friends around me competing in, and so I wanted to give it a shot as well. And it wasn't marketed as a beauty pageant in the traditional sense. Like, there was no swimsuit competition. And there were also aspects of it that are not in traditional pageants. Like, there was a public speaking speech contest as part of it. There was also an etiquette dinner where we trained by learning standard table etiquette and then having a dinner with the judges. So those kinds of things are not typical in most pageants. But as a personal development program for teenagers, which is how they marketed it, it was like there were those added components that kind of just helped us gain life skills. I remember also having other pageants I did early on where they taught us self-defense workshops. So that's also a great life skill. So I've learned a lot of life skills through pageants, as well as some of the ones that I talked about in the article. And my mother did influence part of it, and she supported part of it. She loved being a pageant mom. But there was a lot of aspect of this is a personal development program, and that's how it was marketed. And I saw my friends going through it. So I thought I'd want to join that as a 16-year-old with a lot of ambitions for my career. And I think the pageantry has always supported me in my career goals. So it's always been something that I've been surrounded by supportive people who support my ambition and help me to gain the skills that I need and the experiences that I need to get where I want to go.
So you had not yet applied to medical school, right? Because you were too young to have applied to medical school at that point.
Yeah. So I was doing pageants long before my medical training.
Yeah. Did your article open up other sorts of opportunities for you?
Yeah, I did have a couple of other people who also reached out and asked to have interviews with me. So that was good to know that this article, touched so many people who wanted to hear more about this perspective, because it's not a perspective you hear very often. Usually people have negative opinions about beauty queens and they think that, oh, it's all just modeling. But actually, a lot of beauty queens are very educated women. I've met more doctors in pageants than people would think. Like, I'm not the only doctor in a pageant. That psychiatrist who won Mrs. World, she's not the only doctor in pageants. There's lots of female doctors in the older age pageants, and there's lawyers as well. So yeah, there are a lot of very educated women in pageantry.
Yeah, that's fascinating, because I must confess that I had many of those negative stereotypes myself, although the pageants that you participated in were, as you point out, their structure was very different than typically what we think of in terms of a beauty pageant, and it was really a lot about personal development so it really fit your goals for you.
Yeah. As a teenager especially, they tried to focus on personal development. As an adult as well, so I do I've done Mrs. Pageantry and Doctorate Pageantry as an adult, but I know that Miss category, which I was only in briefly before I got married young, in that Miss category, they may not focus as much on personal development, but there is a need for people to have a platform issue. So some kind of some personal interest that the women advocate for, some cause. And so that's really important. People don't typically get very far in pageantry if there isn't some kind of a cause that they're trying to promote as part of their platform.
So did you say you're currently doing your internship as a psychiatrist? You're not practicing?
Yeah, so I'm a psychiatry resident. So I've done my medical school training. I have my MD, so I'm officially a doctor, but I'm in my postgraduate psychiatry residency. So I guess in some places they call it an internship. In Canada, we call it residency. And so that's the training to specialize as a psychiatrist.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, you're up in Nova Scotia, and I'm wondering, well, what's going on in the world of psychiatry in Nova Scotia, and I wonder, will you be primarily a person who works with people's medications and monitors those and so on, or will you also be a psychotherapist?
So they teach us both in postgraduate training, both psychotherapy and medication. And some people lean more towards one or the other, so kind of people can choose what they want to structure their practice towards. I know some psychiatrists who prefer to do primarily medication, and they have lots of shorter appointments in a day, and they are just mostly doing medication and getting people through quickly. And then I also know psychiatrists who prefer to do psychotherapy, and they have like 1 hour appointments or 2 hour appointments with their patients and focus on the therapy. And then there's people in between who do a little bit of both. And then if you're in the hospitals and working with patients there, then it would be a bit of both, but more towards the medication when it comes to hospital stuff. Personally, I'm more interested in the therapy side of things. I've never been someone who is a big fan of medication. I think there's a time and a place for medication, and I think we shouldn't stigmatize it because it can be life-changing for some people, but I do prefer the psychotherapy side of it rather than being too dependent on meds.
Yeah, well, some of the things that you focus on in the article is building confidence and resilience. Maybe you can say a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I talk in the article about that's one section where pageantry can help, because in order to succeed in pageantry, you do need to work on your confidence because it's so visible. I've been a judge as well as a contestant, and it's so visible when someone doesn't have the right confidence to succeed in the pageant world. And so part of the coaching, part of the training that goes into pageantry, part of just the practice of competing in pageant after pageant is building that confidence and that resilience, even when we don't win a pageant, when we don't succeed, when we don't place where we want to, is building that resilience and building confidence and picking ourselves up and trying again. And so that kind of long-term rigorous preparation that comes with being in the pageant world, and also the public scrutiny, because a lot of people like to judge pageant queens. They like to say negative things about pageant girls all over the internet. And so being able to withstand times when we don't succeed, being able to withstand all that criticism online, that helps to build a strong sense of self-assurance, perseverance, and an ability to also constructively integrate feedback. Because if you don't succeed in a pageant, there's a reason for it. And if people are criticizing you online, they may have a point. Sometimes they're just being mean for the sake of being mean, but sometimes they have a point. So we can all learn from that. And I think that that's important in psychiatry as well, because like I said in the article, patients can challenge our confidence in psychiatry because sometimes there's disagreements. There's some patients can be very angry with their psychiatrist depending on what's going on, like what their illness is and what the treatment is. For example, if people are in active psychosis and they don't think that they need antipsychotics and they very much believe their delusions, they can be very angry. Things don't always work out. People need to change up medications. They need to change up the therapy. And so that can shake somebody's confidence when things aren't going well in psychiatry. And it's the ability to let that happen, accept that it's not going well, and then pick yourself up and try again and find different aspects to help your patients that I think helps to that confidence, that resilience, that perseverance, that ability to integrate feedback and to learn from it, that can all help a psychiatrist be a better psychiatrist for the patient.
Yeah. Another thing that you highlight is developing empathy and cultural competence. How does that come about?
So in the pageants that I've done, so it kind of depends on what level of pageantry people are at, but the pageants I've done have been, I've done lots of international ones. And so I've met women from all over the world. And that's my favorite kind of pageant. Like I like doing the local ones, the ones where it's, I'm just meeting people from, you know, the city or the country. But when you're meeting people from all over the world, you really get to see how different we all are, how different it is to be human, but yet all be united by the experience of being human, and all these different cultures and the things that people share. Usually there's some part of these international pageants where people share something about their own culture, like they'll present some kind of a gift or they'll give something like that to the organizers. And they get to talk about that, or we learn about some of their customs that are different. Typically, gifting is really a big part of pageantry, where we give gifts to each other, like the girls, the contestants, because sisterhood is important in pageantry. Like, it's not about, you know, competing and being catty and I'm the best, I'm better than you. It's about how do we bond? And so it's like uniting the world through this sense of like women together in pageants. And we learn from each other through those gifts, through the discussion about different cultural experiences. And that kind of can help broaden the mind, just like travel helps to broaden the mind, right? Like if we spend our whole lives in North America, we develop a very narrow view of what it's like to be a person. And then if we travel all over the world, like if you go to Europe or in Africa and Asia and wherever else, you get to see more of what the world is like, and that expands a person's horizons psychologically. And I think it's similar with that with pageantry, because I've never been to some of these countries like South Africa, but having competed with a Miss in South Africa and getting to know her, it helps to kind of broaden my experience of life.
Yeah.
And that helps because a lot of patients are from all over the place. I see conflict come up sometimes when I see psychiatrists who are from a certain cultural background, and then their patients come from a different cultural background, and the psychiatrist just doesn't seem to understand their patient. And there's like some judgment there of things that are actually culturally appropriate for that patient. So it's important for us to all become more, more cultured people and become more aware of diverse perspectives and diverse ways of living our lives.
Well, you're up there in Nova Scotia, and I have to say, I think we're pretty ignorant in the States here about Nova Scotia. You know, it feels so far away. Are there unique issues, psychiatric issues, in that part of the world?
I wouldn't say that there's anything that would be culturally specific to here. I know that there are certain psychiatric illnesses that are specific to places like Japan, specific to places like Africa. I would say that Nova Scotia, all of Canada in general, we would have pretty similar presentations to what you would see in the United States. Well, it's all really North America. It's that sometimes we get patients who maybe might be immigrants from a different culture, and then I find that the local psychiatrists are misunderstanding their patients and judging them a little bit unfairly because they haven't had that experience with their culture.
Okay. Well, you make really good points on all of these, and certainly what you're doing and what you've been through has been a real eye-opener for me, expanded my horizons. I'm not planning to be in any pageants, though. And
you know, there are male pageants. Somebody commented on my post on this article about pageantry for aspiring psychiatrists, and they said, why are there no male pageants? And there are lots of male pageants, actually. You just don't really hear about them because maybe people aren't as interested, because seeing a woman walking around in a beautiful evening gown maybe is more interesting than seeing men walking around in tuxes. Like, that's nice too, but there's a lot more variation in evening gowns, right? So, but there are male pageants, and it follows a similar model to female pageants. There are many.
Okay. Well, I will post a link to that article so that people can see the original article. And I'm sure people will appreciate that. So I want to thank you for being my guest on Shrink Wrap Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this interview with today's guest, Canadian from Nova Scotia, psychiatrist Dr. Patricia Salen, who wrote a very provocative article that was picked up by various publishing outlets. Her suggestion that participation in beauty pageants would be good preparation for medical school was not facetious. She actually became a beauty queen on her way to becoming a psychiatrist. Thank you to longtime listener Pat Stanford for suggesting her.
Hello, Shrink Wrap Radio friends. My name is Carol Williams, and I'm a huge admirer of Dr. Dave and this podcast. I stumbled upon Shrink Wrap Radio last summer. My introduction, episode number 561, Narcissism and Love, with Jung and analyst Kenneth Kimmel. Needless to say, I was hooked. I am a licensed ready marriage and family therapist associate, growing my specialty in narcissistic abuse and trauma recovery. Since my discovery of this treasure in July, I have listened to every episode available through my iCatcher app and have now happily downloaded Shrink Wrap Radio's app so that I can listen to his earlier interviews. I know I don't have to convince you of the quality of product Dr. Dave is providing to the field of psychology. You've been listening. What I did want to share with you and Dr. Dave is how much I appreciate the care he takes with creating an overall quality product. There's not one part of this podcast that doesn't scream care, from the introductions and summaries, the quality and depth of interview, and even those catchy tunes that always leave a smile on my face. Dr. Dave's warmth has me feel as if I'm a close friend rather than a listener, And at the end of every podcast, I join him in saying, it's all in your mind. I'd like to ask for you to join me as a financial supporter. While I could tell the email of gratitude I sent Dr. Dave meant a lot, time is of great value, and I wanted to show Dr. Dave how much I appreciate the work he does. As an impoverished intern, I know that financial resources can be tight for many of us. However, even with funds squeezed to their limit, I do find money for those coffee drinks now and then. I decided by becoming a monthly supporter is my way of buying Dr. Dave a cup of coffee to say thank you for all the work you do. While I wish it could be more, I know that if every listener contributed $5 a month, the investment of his work would be validated. So won't you please head over to shrinkwrapradio.com and click on the green support tab? Thank you so much for listening and for considering joining me in keeping this amazing podcast going. And thank you, Dr. Dave, for contributing to my growth as a clinician and as a human being.
I hope you enjoyed this interview with today's guest, Canadian from Nova Scotia, psychiatrist Dr. Patricia Salen, who wrote a very provocative article that was picked up by various publishing outlets. Her suggestion that participation in beauty pageants would be good preparation for medical school was not facetious. She actually became a beauty queen on her way to becoming a psychiatrist. Thank you to longtime listener Pat Stanford for suggesting her. Also, I want to apologize for the uneven quality of today's sound. We've been having a heat wave, and my mic picked up the noise from the room fan. I did my best to iron out that distraction using software, but believe it or not, I'm still learning. Thank you, Carol Williams, for your strong words of support. I feel truly seen and heard. Won't you, other listeners out there, please follow Carol's generous example. With that, once again, time to shrink wrap it up. Thanks again to Dr. Patricia Salen for taking us through her adventures and learning from her years of participation in personal development beauty pageants. I'm still confirming my next guest, but I can guarantee they will be excellent. I hope you will join us then. In the meantime, this is Dr. Dave reminding you to be kind to yourselves, others, and our precious Earth.
You've been shrink-wrapped by Dr. Dave. All the psychology you need to know, and just enough to make you dangerous.